That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
With the second round of the college football playoffs, number two for the 2025-26 season ending here, the second round being done, we have some very interesting facts and figures that are coming out here that we're going to discuss and compare them to the National Football League, especially on teams that have buys. We have this and more coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen for this special edition of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, the college football playoffs, round number two of the 2025 season that was extended into early 2026 here, has just completed on New Year's Day, and we had the four second-round games being played. And some really interesting numbers have come out of that after 2 years of having four teams with buys, a 12-team format in a college football playoffs. Some alarming news for teams that have buys. We'll get to that in just a moment. But there's a very interesting play that happened in a non-college football play, the ReliaQuest Bowl, which was played the other day between Vanderbilt and Iowa, had a very interesting play right before the first half. Vanderbilt was trying to get back into the game. They ended up squandering some opportunities. They had a 4th and 15 from their own 15-yard line. And their punter took the snap and went almost what looked like it was going to be a fake or at least a rugby scrum punt. He started running towards the line of scrimmage and then kicked the ball. Really had a really nice boot that would have flipped the field quite nicely to end a half because there was less than a minute left. I think there was 45 seconds left when he kicked the ball or when at least the snap for the punt was taken. But there was a flag on the field. And here the punter had gone past the line of scrimmage when he punted and he was flagged for it, which I don't think I've ever seen in all my career of officiating or spectating football. I've never seen a punter cross the line for an illegal kick until this game. And it happened at a crucial moment. And the penalty, which I was a little bit surprised to, it didn't process the whole play. I figured it would be, you know, maybe half the distance and a re-kick or something. I didn't really process the whole thing. But the college rule was you'd have a 5-yard penalty, the team from the preceding spot, which means from the 15-yard line where the last ball was snapped, it's a turnover on downs, and Iowa got the ball at the 10-yard line and proceeded with Gronowski, their quarterback, to throw a 10-yard strike to the right corner of the pylon and scored it a quick touchdown. Got another 7 points added to their padding of their lead going into halftime and cruised to a victory in the ReliaQuest Bowl. But very interesting play, and you don't see that very often, but a illegal kick you know, going past that line of scrimmage. So be careful, teams and punters at all levels that are doing the rugby scrum punt or faking or feigning to fake a punt and running towards the line of scrimmage. Make sure you boot that ball before you get there because it's not quite like an illegal forward pass. It's not penalized the same. And Vanderbilt learned very quickly how painful that penalty can be in that circumstance. So that's just an oddity that came out of the college football playoffs. But another one is teams that have first-round buys. So let's just review the college football playoff of the last 2 years, the first years of the 12-team format. So you have 12 teams. You have the top four seeds get a bye in the first round. The other seeds, the next four highest seeds, so that'd be seeds 5 through 8, get a home game in the first round, and the seeds 9 through 12 have to play those respective teams on their home field. Well, last year, all of the teams that had byes lost all four games. You know, it was just an unbelievable circumstance, and everybody said, wow, is that too long to go without playing a football game? These first round byes, could that be the problem? You know, we had Arizona State ended up losing to Texas. Ohio State beat Oregon, who had a bye. Boise State lost to the to Penn State, and Georgia lost to Notre Dame. 0-4 were the teams with byes. So you go into this year for the college football playoffs, the 2025 season. It doesn't get much better there. We had 3 of the 4 teams that had a bye week lose the game. The exception was Indiana, who handily won their game defeating Alabama. But, you know, Oregon beat Texas Tech, who had a bye. Ole Miss came back and beat Georgia in a thrilling game. Georgia had that first round bye. And Miami surprised Ohio State. And so people say, you know, teams can't go this long without playing a game. So that makes 7 of 8 teams with byes in the last 2 years have lost their first round thing and, you know, got kicked out of the tournament because of that. But it's a, you know, losing your out kind of thing. But Miami is a perfect example of a team that did not play in their conference championship. They were not in the ACC championship for the weird rule that the ACC had. We talked about that on a previous episode. But they went 20-some days without playing a game and ended up winning 2 games in a row. One on the road against Texas A&M in their first-round game. So it can be done, and maybe it's not too long, but maybe the preparedness of it maybe should be looked at. That's an interesting thing to examine. So let's look at this comparatively. I guess the only thing that's closest to this in the game of football would be maybe the National Football League, who has had first-round byes for probably the last 30-some years of the top seed. From 2000 to 2019, you had top two seeds got byes. So it's been sort of staggered around here for some time. But now, you know, you have first two seeds are getting byes again. Here. But so roughly in the last 25 years, and these are not exact numbers, they're just numbers I try to add up real quick here to do, but just to give some perspective on this. So if, in the last 25 years, we've had approximately 88 games of teams that had a first round bye in the playoffs that played in the divisional round the next week, a home game in NFL circumstances, unlike the college game where they play on neutral sites. But there's only been 38 times in the 88 that a team with the bye lost the game. They were thus the home team. So it's a little bit in favor of the home team that had the bye in the National Football League. Nothing like the 1-8 or 1-7 record of the team with the bye in the college football playoffs the first 2 years. So will this trend change, and what will teams do in the coming years to if the same format is held to, you know, prevent against this? Should, you know, maybe they should be getting a scrimmage game. You know, who knows what they're going to be doing to do this, having that 2-week layoff. And maybe that's not the case. Maybe the teams are just that competitive and maybe the rankings are poorly done that you just don't know who the better team is until you get on the field and play the game. So it's a fascinating study to look at and something we'll have to watch in the future. But just a couple things for the college football playoffs I thought maybe it would be historically relevant to talk about here on the Pigskin Dispatch Football History Podcast. So hope you enjoyed this as we talk about every podcast. I hope you're enjoying your new year. And we have some great stuff coming up next week. So make sure you join us, including our visit with Timothy B. Brown of Football Archaeology, going into our college football jersey number series. We'll be talking about the number 3, going to our big, bold predictions with Ed Cleese for the wild card weekend coming up and looking at results from week 18 in National Football League and more fun in college and pro football history. Till next time, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Are you passionate about soccer's past, present, and future? Discover the game like never before with the GP Soccer Podcast, now proudly part of the Sports History Network. Join renowned coach and educator Giovanni Pacini as he brings over 40 years of expertise to every episode. From player and coach development to global soccer news, insightful interviews, and lively segments like Conversation with the Coach, as well as soccer news and analysis, this show is your gateway to the stories and personalities shaping the beautiful game. Whether you're a lifelong fan, a coach, or just soccer curious, tune in for expert perspectives, inspiring guests, and a community that spans the globe. The GP Soccer Podcast is consistently ranked among the top soccer podcasts and is now part of the Sports History Network, the headquarters for sports yesteryear. So don't miss out. Subscribe to the GP Soccer Podcast wherever you listen and visit gpsoccerpodcast.com for more information. Be a part of soccer's rich history, one episode at a time.